Thank you, Pastor Jane. Good morning to everyone in the congregation. Lord, Father God, I come before you this morning in the most humble manner that I know how, because you're the only God that ever was. Lord, I ask that you increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Lord, these and all blessings I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Good morning, Unity. We aren't going to hold you long. I want to give honor first and foremost to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to give honor to Pastor Jay, Sister Valerie, Pastor Emeritus Hargrove, Mother Hargrove. I want to give honor to Minister Allen and the Deacons Carter. And everyone, members, visiting friends, and everyone in their respective places, it is a blessing to speak with you for a few more minutes this morning. If you have your Bibles, if you would turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, the 6th chapter, and we're going to look at the 16th verse. So that's going to be Jeremiah 6 chapter, 16 verse. Jeremiah 6, 16. Amen. Okay, Jeremiah 6:16. Jeremiah 6:16. And if you have it, it reads, Thus saith the Lord, Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. I read for your consideration Jeremiah 6, chapter 16, verse. May God add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, but most of all, the doers of his word. That particular verse, Jeremiah is talking to the nation of Judah. And at that time, the time was around 606 B.C., and southern Israel was called Judah, and it was on the eastern coast of the Mediterranean Sea. And those were part of God's chosen people, but they decided to turn away from God's rules and regulations. So because of that, they had to be punished. Just because 1,700 miles away, there was a nation called Babylonia. We know them as the Babylons. And they were located between the Tigris and the Euphrates River on what's modern-day Iraq. And because of Judah's disobedience and their unwillingness to comply with what God has set up, Babylon attacked Judah for 20 years, and they finally captured Jerusalem. When we look back at the scripture, though, through Jeremiah, was trying to get one last warning to his people. God was trying to let them know that you don't have to go through these problems if you would just ask for the old path. Where is the good way and walk therein? And as God, I'm going to offer you rest for your souls. Rest is important. God rested on the seventh day, and he was offering rest to his chosen people. But if you look at the last sentence, they steadfastly said, we will not walk therein. So the subject for this morning's brief message is search for the old path. And if it's okay, we want to intertwine that with revisit the fundamentals. Revisit the fundamentals. The people brought this problem again, as we mentioned. People of Judah brought these problems from the Babylonians among themselves because they rejected the wisdoms and warnings of God. Now, Jeremiah was the last prophet that God sent to preach to the southern kingdom of Judah. And Jeremiah was only about 17 years old when God called him. Jeremiah was given the task of delivering an unpopular, convicting message to Judah, one that caused him great mental stress because he knew he'd be despised by his people. Jeremiah was even, he cried for Judah, and he was known as the weeping prophet. But God told him, so I want you to tell them anyway, if they go ask for the old path and revisit the fundamentals, they may be able to avoid some of these problems that are impending. But they said, no, we're not going to do all that. We're going to keep doing what we're doing. Sometimes as Christians, as church folks, if we've been at this for a while, we have to kind of stop and make sure that we revisit the fundamentals of our Christian faith. We have to go back to that moment when we first received the Holy Spirit. Because that particular moment is always going to be integral as far as helping us navigate through the minefield of life that we have to deal with. When we talk about revisiting the fundamentals, sometimes that's not as exciting as moving along with more complex items. We always want to try to advance and get to the next level. But if we find that the train is kind of going off the track, we, even as Christians, regardless of how seasoned we are, we need to kind of backtrack through our Christian walk and go back to the fundamentals and make sure that everything's on point. An example of that. Of course, if you ask someone who's the greatest basketball player of all time, you know, some people may say Bill Russell and others may call out other names, but it's pretty commonly accepted that when they talk about the GOAT, or the GOAT, greatest of all times, Jordan's name is going to come up more often than not. However, what's overlooked, my brother and I were talking yesterday, yes, we look at the highlight reels and the posters of Michael Jordan's dunking on people, but it was overlooked of how great of a defensive player Michael Jordan was. He was one of the greatest defensive players of all time. If I'm not mistaken, he was the only player to win Defensive Player of the Year and league MVP. So again, as good as Michael Jordan was and all the highlight reels we see of him, he always went back and focused on the fundamentals of his game. Something similar can be said about Kobe Bryant. Yes, Kobe had 5 rings. He had 2 finals MVPs. But Kobe was known to stay after practice and work on free throws for hours. Now, anybody who knows anything about basketball, free throws, that's one of the most boring elements of an NBA game. But again, Kobe, knowing that if he wanted to be great on down the road and go on maybe the Mount Rushmore, possibly of all basketball NBA players, he would have to tighten up and make sure that his fundamentals were always sound. As Christians, if we want to go forward and go into higher heights and make it to heaven, and not only that, but be helpful to people while we're here, we need to make sure that we shore up and stay tight on our fundamentals. Give me a few more minutes. Tiger Woods. Again, when you talk about the greatest of all time, there will be some people who will say Jack Nicklaus, because he had 18 majors. But some people have said Tiger Woods because he had the lowest, I guess, scoring average to par. But in any event, Tiger Woods, they say he would get up at 6 o'clock and work out for about 2 or 3 hours. At 9 o'clock, he'd go to the range, the practice range, and hit golf balls for 2 hours. They say after that, he played 9 holes in practice, and then he'd eat lunch and go back to practice hitting balls for 2 more hours. Then he'd play another 9 holes of golf. And then after that, they say he'd go to the practice putting green and just putt for another hour or more. Then go work out again for another hour and a half. Again, these things that I just mentioned about Tiger Woods, yes, we see the highlights and we see the Masters green jackets and the U.S. Opens and the majors that he won. But nobody really paid attention to all of these boring, quote-unquote, fundamentals that Tiger Woods ingrained into his workouts, and his schedule every day. Serena Williams, greatest woman woman tennis player of all time, they say she would spend up to 3 hours practicing on the court every day and then another 2.5 hours or more in the gym every day. So these people tend to work on that. They realize they have a goal in mind, but in order to reach that goal, they have to always focus on the fundamentals. God was telling Judah through Jeremiah that you all need to go back and find the old path, work on the fundamentals, because if you don't, there's impending doom coming in the form of these Babylonians. I play a little golf every now and then, and Pastor Hargrove can kind of attest to what I'm about to say. But if I'm out playing golf and my swing is all over the place and I'm just shanking the ball and hitting the ball in the water, hitting the ball in the woods, I may sit there for a minute, scratch my head, and try to figure out what I'm doing wrong. But at that point, I always go back to my grip. How am I gripping the club? Because again, the grip is the only contact that I have with the golf club. So if I overlook the grip, which is the fundamental element of my being able to swing the club like I want to, I might as well go to the parking lot. Give me a few more minutes. We're talking about revisiting the fundamentals. A few points we want to take from this lesson. First of all, the true meaning of serving God is characterized as the old path. It's also described as the good way. We're talking about revisiting the fundamentals as seasoned Christians. Sometimes it's easier for a new Christian to be genuine and steadfast and serve God with fidelity because they're brand new. They don't have any of these preconceived notions. They don't have any of these ideas that they've accomplished anything really within the Christian walk. So they're not cocky. They don't have a big head. Sometimes as seasoned Christians or people who've been in it for a while, we have to kind of check ourselves and go back and revisit the fundamentals. Yes, I'm a minister, and I've been a minister for a while, but it doesn't hurt me every now and then to go back to some of my old Sunday school lessons from when I was a little kid and review some of those lessons. Another point, God's chosen people were and are required to walk on this old path. Again, we never, I guess, evolved to the point to where we don't need to walk on the path that God has set for us. Because if we do that, then that's when we get in trouble, similar to what Judah faced. Also, another point, they had strayed away from the righteous or old path, and that's what we're talking about. Again, sometimes as Christians, we may get so caught up in day-to-day life until we feel like we might not need to read the Bible today. Or we may not need to spend a few moments in meditating and praying with God. We can just kind of get up and go out the door and not have to worry about it. But again, when those kind of things happen, there's always a reason, if we look for it, to not spend a moment reading our Bible. There's always a quote-unquote, I guess, good excuse for maybe not praying or meditating. But again, if we stray away from the old path, we'll find that things start to stack up and stack up and stack up. And the next thing we know, we're up to our necks in trouble. Another point, it was also important that they repent. We're talking about Judah, and hasten back to the Lord. If we mess up, yes, God will take us back, but we have to go through the process of repenting, acknowledging what we did wrong, and then hasten back to the Lord. Don't slow around getting back to him, because we don't know when our time is going to be up. And if we kind of slow around taking our time to get back to the Lord, death can catch us unaware, and then we'll have a major problem. The last point that I want to look at right here in this particular section is Scripture says if they will return, rest could be their possession again. So again, we as Christians have to make sure that we always revisit the fundamentals. We have to maintain a humble spirit. There may be something that we aren't aware that we're doing that if another brother or sister kind of catches us in that and checks us in it, instead of going off on them, or being offended, we need to be able to take constructive criticism. Again, now, if we're talking about the truth and we're really trying to be the best we can be, we need to make sure that we're able to take that constructive criticism if a brother or sister catches us in a fault. It's funny because successful people and companies, they pay millions of dollars every year for honest feedback from their consumers. Some of you this week or this month, within this year, I'm sure you've taken a survey, and believe it or not, the survey, the people who are giving you that survey, whether it's a company or maybe even on your job, you have to take surveys. They want honest criticism. They want honest feedback so that they can improve their processes. Same thing with us. If we have a brother or sister who we can really confide in, maybe a spouse and maybe a sibling, if they ask us a question or if they see something that just doesn't sit right with them, we need to be able to take that honest feedback, go back to the scriptures and search ourselves, revisit the fundamentals, and make sure that we're on point. Give me a few more minutes. The nation of Judah had allowed sinful behavior to grow due to their lack of revisiting the fundamentals. I remember the old folks say you got to be careful what you fertilize, because anything you fertilize, that's what's going to grow. If you're my age or older, you know that we were raised a certain way. you couldn't just talk back to your parents. So I couldn't say the word lie at my house. Or there was something, you didn't sit around when grown folks were talking and getting grown folks' business. That's the old path. But what you see nowadays is a little bit of a shift in the behavior of some of our kids, and that's because parents are allowing things that our parents and grandparents didn't used to allow. So we have to make sure that in raising our kids, we revisit the fundamentals. Wisdom. Wisdom is also found among the aged. Now, if you want to talk about the old paths and revisiting the fundamentals, it's always good to have an older seasoned Christian who's been at this for a while to kind of help you also get some of their feedback. Job 12:12 says, is not wisdom found among the aged? Does not long life bring understanding? With age comes wisdom, experience, and confidence. That's why, and I think we talked about this before, I'm thankful for our older senior citizens that we have at Unity and senior citizens that we have in our lives who we were raised up watching these people live this Christian life. These people, you don't ever really see them panic, regardless of what's going on. That's because they're saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost and experience and their humility and them going back revisiting the fundamentals every now and then kind of helps fortify their situation. And we're so thankful. Romans 12:20. It gives us something else that is very important. Our elders will sometimes say, baby, you got to pray for your enemies. And that's huge here because, again, that's one of those things that if I had to pick one particular common thread that it's hard for Christians to deal with, that's one. But our elders will say, baby, you got to pray for your enemies. Romans 12:20 says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. One of the biggest fundamentals that we were taught is the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Sometimes, though, as we advance and progress in this Christian walk, we kind of stray away from those little Sunday school lessons. And because of that, we find ourselves having some trouble down the road. We're talking about revisiting the fundamentals. I'm talking about taking it all the way back to something as simple as God is good and the devil is bad. Now, this morning, I know that sounds super basic, and I don't mean to insult anybody's intelligence, but when you look at popular culture now and contemporary society, there's kind of been this shift, if you will, that some kind of way the devil is cool, and to be a Christian or to be a Bible thumper is a bad thing. Unfortunately, we've seen recently the entertainment industry put somebody out there to really kind of celebrate the devil. And again, if we're not careful, our kids will think, well, that's just being creative and that's just being artistic. But now there's always an underlying little slick meaning that the devil's trying to slide in there. But as Christians, if we don't get caught up in the cloud of what's going on and go back and revisit the fundamentals, God is good, the devil is bad, we need to tell that to our kids. Something that's simple, again, going way back, heaven is fun. Heaven is a good place. Hell is scary and miserable for all eternity. We don't want to go to hell. I don't care how popular culture may seem to kind of make hell seem like the party place. Ain't no party in hell. If you go to hell, you're going to burn, you're going to be in trouble. Pastor Jay did a really good job of giving an exposition last week, very briefly, on hell and what's going on with hell. So, again, when we revisit the fundamentals, we have to let the world know you don't want to go to hell. I don't care how much Hollywood tries to glamorize hell and evil and all that kind of stuff. We talk about revisiting the fundamentals. I remember my first grace that I was taught by my mama. God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. Amen. We're talking about revisiting the fundamentals because sometimes as Christians, if we're out on maybe a business meal or business dinner or business lunch or something like that, we may get so caught up in trying to close the deal or trying to deal with the situation at hand that we forget to say our grace. So again, we're talking this morning about revisiting the fundamentals. Anytime before you eat your food, you need to pray, especially with everything going on now, because you don't know what kind of, I guess, ingredients or, you know, whatever's in your food. So again, you need to make sure that you always pray. I go back to my prayer that I used, the first prayer that my mama taught. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Again, it sounds very basic, but that one basic prayer is very powerful. I hope that when I go to sleep, I wake up in the morning. But again, 1,427 things approximately has to go right in order for me to go to sleep tonight and wake up in the morning. So if one of those 1,427 elements of me waking up in the morning doesn't happen, I still want to make sure that I'm all right. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. We're talking about revisiting the fundamentals. I remember when one of the other fundamentals, Grandma, give me a few minutes, Grandma would say, stay in that word. She knew what she was talking about. That means read your Bible daily. That's one of those things that when we revisit the fundamentals, everything will be all right. Because if you read your Bible, you'll find a scripture that fits your problem. I don't care what it is. And problems are going to happen. Even if it's not a major problem, it may be a small, minor inconvenience that could lead to something else. So again, if you crack that Bible open, I guarantee you there's a verse somewhere that'll help fit your situation. And even if it's not for you, it may be a verse that you need to kind of put in your pocket to help someone else. John 5:39 says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. So, again, we're talking about searching the old path and revisiting the fundamentals. Jeremiah became kind of discouraged because, like a lot of us, when we think our efforts are not making a difference. And not only that, Jeremiah was getting discouraged because time was getting short. Jeremiah knew that God had had enough of Judah and their backsliding, and it was only a matter of time before Babylon was going to come in and take over. Jeremiah was emotionally spent, and sometimes we get a little frustrated. Jeremiah 15:18 even said that Jeremiah very quickly doubted God. But what I love about God is God was not done with Jeremiah, because Jeremiah 15:19 reminds us that in those times when we feel alone, sometimes we may feel like we're kind of useless and discouraged and our faith gets a little shaky, God is with us. God told Jeremiah to tell Judah, therefore, this is what the Lord says. If you repent, I will restore you so that you may serve me. He then told Jeremiah, if you utter worthy and not worthless words, you will be my spokesman. God told Jeremiah, look, when you go down there now, don't tell them what you think they want to hear. You need to utter worthy words, not worthless words. One of the major problems that we see today in society is some of the pastors, not all, but some of the larger churches, they're in the pulpit and they're giving motivational speeches, but they're not really guiding people as far as their spiritual destination. And again, as Christians, you don't have to be in the pulpit. But if God gives us the opportunity to share what thus saith the Lord to help someone avoid the downside of the afterlife, which is a real hell, we need to go and take that opportunity to give them worthy words and not worthless. Because that may be the last time you see that person. You don't want to waste that opportunity. God said, let this people turn to you, but you must not turn to them. In other words, Jeremiah, you have to be steadfast. Somewhat of a war. They're going to be pulling and you're going to be pulling. But if you've got me pulling on your side, Jeremiah, if all you got to do is hold the line. I'll do the pulling for you. If you hold the line, you'll get the victory. And see, the thing about us as Christians, when we win, God wins, and then the person that we're talking to wins. But if we get into a situation and we don't win, if we lose, then everybody loses. So, again, we must make sure that we're staying steadfast and that we ourselves are locked into the fundamentals. That way we know how to proceed. God was saying to the people of Judah, if you come back to me, I will restore you to the joy of your salvation. This situation is kind of similar to when David repented of his sin with Bathsheba. David asked God to restore the joy to his heart. And when he did, David Dance. But in order for us to make sure that we're able to do that, we've got to search for the old path and make sure that we revisit the fundamentals. But unfortunately, in that last sentence in Judah 6:16, we see the people told God straight up, we ain't doing that. We like the new path. And sometimes blindly adopting a new path can get you in trouble, just like Judah, because eventually they were conquered by the Babylonians. We have to make sure that we, as Christians, we stay locked into the old path and revisit the fundamentals. When we talk about the old path, we talk about, for example, the old path says, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. But a new age path may say, unless you convert to, if you convert to another religion, you're okay. You don't have to necessarily acknowledge Jesus, but just acknowledge that there is a deity. You can call it the universe, but just make sure that, you know, you're good. You don't have to have a strict relationship with Jesus per se. As long as you acknowledge a higher power, it can be a generic random higher power, and you identify as being spiritual, you'll be okay. The problem with Judah is a lot of people in Judah were spiritual, but the spiritual relationship that they had was not with Yahweh, was not with God Almighty. So we need to make sure that we revisit the fundamentals, because if we're not careful, we can get caught and taken away with other religions or philosophies, and the next thing you know, you're not even mentioning Jesus at all. Old path says, thou shalt not make for yourself any idol or graven image, nor bow down to it or worship it. That's the fundamental. But a new path may say, it's okay to, you know, worship it if it's your house and your car and you really worked hard for it. If you worked hard for it, you deserve it. Therefore, it's okay to worship it. An old path says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. But a new path may say, well, it's okay to, you know, take God's name in vain and cuss a little bit if somebody, you know, bothers you and you get cut off on I-4 traffic. Old path says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. But a new path may say, if it's Super Bowl Sunday or, you know, you got something else to do, it's okay not to necessarily acknowledge God on a Sunday. He understands. But the old path says, remember and keep the Sabbath day holy. Old path says, honor your father and mother. New path may say, well, honor your father and mother until they get on your last nerves. Or if mama start being extra, then it's okay to cuss her out. I don't care what mama and daddy do. Even if they get out of pocket, if they get sideways, you can correct them without being disrespectful. Old path says, thou shalt not kill. New path says, hey, if they get my time wrong, it's whatever. The old path says, thou shalt not commit adultery. New path says, well, if your spouse is unable to be attentive to your needs, it's okay to go ahead and do what you want because the heart wants what it wants. Old path says, thou shalt not steal. A new path says, well, if they leave the door unlocked and you think you can get away with it, go ahead and do what you got to do. The old path says, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. New path says, hey, if you snitched on me, I'm going to go ahead and make up some on him. We're going to balance the scales and get it even. The old path says, thou shalt not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. New path says, well, if I feel like he don't deserve another new boat, then I'm going to hate on him because that's just the way it is. So again, as I close, we need to make sure that we as Christians, yes, it's wonderful for us to advance. And of course, every round is supposed to go higher and higher. But if we ever find that things just don't seem to be lining up right, we need to work our way back through our experience, go all the way back to the fundamentals, and make sure that we review those. Because again, in Jeremiah 6:16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old path, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. May God bless you and keep you. Revisit the fundamentals. Back to you, Pastor Jay.